doesn't struggle at times with being double-minded. In fact, we're going to find out the Apostle Paul struggled with it. But there's a cure for it. 2 Corinthians 4:4 says, "The God of this world," which is the devil, "has blinded the minds of those which believe not." I had this thought about that scripture. Satan is pretty good at messing with folks' minds. Paul had a revelation. The revelation was that Satan's main attack is in the mind. He's so good at it that he has convinced unbelievers not to believe. And this was my thought. If he can do that to unbelievers, he must know something about the mind to mess up believers. So I want to talk tonight about being double-minded. Book of James, chapter 1, very familiar scripture. "If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally, and upbraids not, and it shall be given him. Let him ask in faith, nothing wavering, for he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways." Lord, bless your word tonight. Help us, Jesus, with this, we ask. And everyone said,
amen.
James says, wisdom brings stability. The symptom of being double-minded is we're not stable. I don't know about you, but when we are first saved, I mean, we love Jesus Christ. We're on fire for God. But that doesn't mean that there might be some things that are not stable in our life. I love to be around stable people because it reinforces my need for stability. How many would say tonight, as we read the text, there could be a moment, or maybe there was a moment, that I was a little double-minded? And when I talk about double-minded, I don't mean that one day you're serving God and the next day you want to go serve the devil. I'm just talking about the inconsistencies in our thinking patterns. And I'm talking about the filter that we need to have a constant look at to filter out things in the world and how they think. Let me tell you something. The world thinks completely different than God does. That's why the Bible says, don't love the things of the world. Don't love the philosophies of the world. Because they're against Christ. You know, a wave. I thought about a wave in the ocean. How many of you ever gone to the ocean and you kind of ride the waves in? You ever done that? Yeah. Two people? Okay. I don't recommend it. It was fun. Yes, that's right. Ocean View girl. One time I was doing it with a friend. Big waves. Oh, is this fun? La da da. Till this big wave came. And I tell you, about 15 feet from shore, I knew I was in trouble. That thing turned me around and just pounded me right into the sand. That was the last time I did that. Amen. Double-mindedness is a wave. And a wave in the ocean starts many miles out. When you see a wave, it could have come 100 miles that way. Many of our double-mindedness reactions start with a little thought way off. You see, the wave grows with momentum. How do I grow my double-mindedness? Because I begin to speak the thing I shouldn't, and that wave is headed toward the shore and to crash into my life. It could bring trouble and distress. Very seldom when we are in a situation where we react negatively, very seldom it's because of that moment. That moment was the moment the wave crashed, but usually it's tied to something I said or thought even months or weeks before. Double-mindedness is really, you know what it really is? It's my spiritual man fighting against the remnants of my carnal mind. It's a fight. It's a wrestling match. And until our mind is completely transformed, until we are in glory, you and I, now listen, friend, you and I will battle double-mindedness. I'm not talking about serving God one day and another. I'm talking about the workings of thought patterns that have been habitually established before I was saved, but some of them, I've not torn those down. They're still there. And they will crash into our life without warning if we don't have the cure. We're going to talk about the cure in just a moment. Now the cause is this. The cause of it is carnal reasoning that fights against spiritual truth. That's how the devil tripped up Eve at the tree. To get her to reason, hath God said, a doubting reasoning that caused her to question God. Because of that, all of us have to fight carnal reasoning because it comes against spiritual truth. The more I'm washed with the water of the Word, the more I'm going to win the battle. You know, spiritual mindfulness brings life and peace. That will keep you in perfect peace. This mind, the spiritual mind, is on thee. The carnal mind wants to dominate our thinking. You ever hear the phrase "carnal Christian"? That's a Christian who's truly saved, but the carnality of the mind has not been dealt with, so it's in his habits, it's in his talk, it's in his emotions, and the worst thing to me is in your feelings. Because if we're led by feelings, we will be deceived. Feelings are not, feelings are not able to sustain the Christian walk. Because one day you feel like it, the next day you don't feel like it. It takes a lot of work to get past that. We're going to talk about that too. Now, Paul struggled with this. Aren't you glad that we have an example in the Bible of this? The great apostle Paul. Look at Romans chapter 7, verse 18. For I know that in me, that is my flesh, he's talking there not about the body flesh, he's talking about his carnal nature, dwells no good thing. For the will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good I don't find. For the good that I would, I do not, but the evil which I would not, that I do. Now if I do that I would not, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwells in me. I find then a law that when I would do good, notice to this, evil is present with me. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man, but I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind, and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. Wow. How honest was Paul here? Paul says, I want to tell you something. My spiritual mind wants to do good. But my carnal mind, which has a direct access to my body members, tries to stir my body up to obey its commands of carnality. But see, that's walking in the flesh. The body wants to respond to the spiritual mind. But the carnal mind wants the body for itself.
And so there's a fight.
Present your bodies a living sacrifice unto God. That's our good and acceptable and perfect will God has for us. So Paul says, you know what? I'm going into captivity if I listen to my carnal nature.
Wow.
And that is double-mindedness. Now I want to talk a moment about what the Bible talks about as far as foolish mistakes or foolish emotions. The reality of this, folks, and I encourage you to read in Proverbs about foolishness and the plight of fools. Not that we are fools if we know Christ, but we can do some foolish things. So, I don't want to do foolish things. How about you? I don't want to think foolish. I don't want to talk foolish. So, the reason I need to ask for wisdom is to replace any carnal, foolish thinking that still might be there. And, you know, as far as you've come so far with God, you don't want any big waves of carnality hitting your life at this time. Hello? Luke chapter 12, verse 16. And he spoke a parable unto them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do? Because I have no room where to bestow my fruits. And he said, this will I do, I will pull down my barns and build greater. And there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. And it goes on to say, God said, thou fool, this night your soul is going to be required. Three foolish mistakes he made. And the reason he made these is because they came completely from his carnal mind. Number one, the first mistake, he mistook himself to be God. He said, this will I do. He set himself up as God. This will I do. Listen, he became independent of God. He became the center of his universe. That is foolish. I mean, what is man that thou art mindful? We are, you know, we are not God. The devil said, you will be like God. So the first mistake this foolish man made, using his carnal mind, he mistook himself to be God. Second thing, he mistook his body for his soul. He said, eat, drink, and be merry. In other words, he had no understanding that the soul belonged to God and the soul was to be inhabited by God's Spirit. He lived for pleasure. He lived for his body. The third mistake, he mistook time for eternity. This night your soul shall be required. He had no concept of the life to come. You know what really concerns me in this hour is how surface and how shallow in when we talk about the next life, people are just so, you know, they don't even think about they could be gone in a second. It bothers me a lot that we are so consumed with right now. We're not planning for eternity. And I know many people, they plan for their funeral and who's going to get the house and the dog and the will and what type of casket. But listen, mister, you can't stop there. You got to find out where you're going. You know, I ask people, say, well, they mentioned this person. I said, well, do you know where they are now? Well, no. Then why are we worshiping them? You know what I'm saying? Do you know where they are? Do you know where you're going? You see, you don't hear that today as much because we want to be so delicate with everything, but the reality is, I'm going up an elevator or I'm going down. There is no middle ground. This man had no concept of eternity. But yet, I guarantee you this man had gone to funerals. I guarantee you that he went and saw other people. Never even crossed his mind. How many people go to funerals all the time? They pass the casket. Never even crosses their mind that could be them. Never even crossed their mind, where is that person? That's because, like this man, we relate everything to the body. But guess what? That's only a shell. That other person's gone, the soul that requires God. These foolish thinking patterns, listen to me, church, are so ingrained today in the world system. They're so ingrained in people's minds today that they're living a life, and sometimes even believers are living a life that doesn't, number one, glorify God, and number two, doesn't please God, and number three, it can be a reproach to the gospel. So it's important that we don't commit these three mistakes. Now let me give you the cure. Colossians 3, verse 1. If you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sits on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things of the earth. For you are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. Now, we don't always go around saying that. Hey, man, you're dead. Paul says, you're dead. We say, well, what do you mean I'm dead? You're dead to your old life. Don't allow carnal reasoning to resurrect it. The old man is dead, but yet he can be resurrected by how we think. That's why you can backslide. That's why you can, you know, all of a sudden just stop going to church, stop reading your Bible, because the old man's come back. I don't know about you, that old man was taking me to hell. That old man crushed my life. Guess what? He needs to stay dead. How does he stay dead? By seeking those things which are above. There can be no middle ground of maybe. We have got to be aggressive in seeking those things that are above. We've got to outrun the carnal reasoning that's chasing us until Jesus comes. Because nobody on this earth gets to the place where they have arrived perfectly spiritually. It doesn't even Paul said I have a struggle with this. But he gave us a cure. He said, you gotta keep pressing. What are some of those things above them to see? Number one, how about the promises of God? The promises of God are not buried in the earth somewhere. They're up in heaven with a promiser. See, God's promises, 6,000 of them, they're all yea and amen if I really seek them. Second thing that's above, how about the mercy and grace of God? God says, seek those things. How many need mercy here tonight? You know, 10 years ago, yeah, I needed mercy, but I tell you what, I need more mercy now than ever, and I need more grace. Your carnal mind says, oh, you don't need to call out for mercy and grace like you used to, and I'm going, are you kidding? I need it more now than when I started.
Amen.
The third thing is above, how about God's favor? God, I need your favor. God, I can't do it by myself. God, I pray like Jabez, enlarge my coast, not so I can be somebody in the kingdom, but that I can fulfill your will on the earth. God, I need your favor. I don't have your favor. I'm just another person doing another thing, attending another church. Oh, God. I need your favor on my life. Guess what? That's a thing we are to seek. The fourth thing we are to seek is the destiny God called you for. How many millions go to church every Sunday, know nothing about their spiritual destiny? Oh, it's a good word, preacher. Oh, the choir was hot. What's your destiny? I don't know. Guess what? The carnal mind says, yeah, you don't know, and don't even think about finding out. The fourth thing, how about the provision of God? about the God's provision. Oh, well, we're not supposed to. Yes, we are. Ask and you shall receive. Seek and you shall find. Seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added to you. God's not a tightwad. God didn't play Scrooge in the Christmas play. God's not Scrooge. There is provision and blessings that come to you when you're seeking Him with your whole heart. The last thing, how about the will of God? Ask Jonah if the will of God is not important. Ask somebody who married somebody in a hot, passionate, sexual thing, had nothing to do with God, and years later, as a divorce. Ask somebody who got involved in something and God told them no, but they did it anyway. Tell me the will of God is not important. It is important.
Amen.
Your carnal mind is like, well, it might be important, it might not be. Oh, it's very important to do the will of God, which is the Word of God. And the rhema of God's Word is to reveal specific things to us. Set your affection on things above. This is where our problem lies, saints. And it did with Paul. And it did with Moses. Amen. It did with David. Affections got messed up. Oh yeah. Don't ever think you're above temptation. Sir. Man, don't think you're ever above temptation. Don't ever think about it. Don't ever. Because no one is above it. And now we can say how mighty and powerful and victorious and breakthrough as we want to. But until my mind is completely transformed and this body, I have a new one, I can be tempted. I can give in to the lust of the pride of life. Amen. So I need wisdom. Where to go? When to go? Who to go with? Who not to go with? Who to talk to, who not to talk to. You're not going to defile my spirit by your hate and rhetoric and judging and all. I'm not going to talk to you if you're going to be like that. You've got to be that way too. Because what you allow through your five gates of your senses goes into your mind. And if it's a carnal negative bolt of lightning, it feeds the carnal nature of it. So next time, you know, if I hear a little gossip, next time I want to hear more gossip. If I said one negative word about somebody, the next time I want to say more words. Why? Because that carnal part of us gets fed. Paul said, you're dead. You got to die to it. Even a fool is considered wise when he keeps his mouth shut. There's been many times in my life, personally, ministry, I have kept my mouth shut in front of other people, individuals, and said nothing when I could because I realized. If I have a problem with running my mouth and gossip and talking and can't stop it, I have a problem with a double-minded carnal mind. That's not your spiritual man doing that. Let your words be few of us. Where there's many words, sin is not absent. I'm not talking about having a good conversation. I'm just talking about when it switches over. I said when it switches over.
Amen.
Well, I'm going to move on here. I want you all to be happy to leave. Anyway, what's the priority for our mind? How many want this? I've already mentioned this in another service. Number one, I must keep factual truth first. For God so loved the world is a factual truth. David killing giant, a factual truth. In the beginning, God is a factual truth. And see, the world wants to divide hairs and say, oh, the Bible is not full of facts. You're wrong, sir. And you're going to miss heaven by a million miles. Because that Bible is full of factual truth. There are no lies in the Bible. All those stories happened. Everyone, the flood, everything happened. Factual truth must be first in my life.
Amen.
Second thing is a faith that I'm trusting God that the factual truth he said is going to happen. Then the third thing, the priority is my feelings. Because once I have factual truth established and faith, my feelings will come into line. But if I ever get feelings first, I will be crashed on the shore of embarrassment, and my nakedness will be seen, and fig leaves don't cover it up no more. Too many believers, well, I don't feel like going to church. Well, I don't feel anyone likes me to church. Well, I don't feel, so I believe it. I don't feel like reading my Bible. I don't feel like this person loves me. I don't feel like the pastors care. I don't feel, that's the carnal mind based on presumption, nothing to do with factual truth. And I can't live that way and please God, because my feelings will deceive me. David was deceived with his feelings towards Bathsheba. What you doing, man? You've got 10 wives, all beautiful. What you doing? Samson got deceived with some of his wives, what's her name? Delilah. I mean, you talk about deceived, man. Playing games with your inheritance. His spiritual man could rip lions apart, carry gates 35 miles and weighed about 1,200 pounds apiece, but his carnal mind won out. If he would have said, listen, Delilah, you ain't going to play games with me. You get your little self out this door. But he didn't. And he could have married a godly woman, had renowned children that loved God, but his double-minded mind deceived him. And I'm here to tell us, myself, watch out. If the Apostle Paul mentioned it, factual truth, faith, and feelings. One of the biggest hindrances today of us sharing Christ is we don't feel it. Factual truth is we are lighthouses. The factual truth is we are witnesses. The factual truth are we are ambassadors. The factual truth is be ready to give an answer to someone who asks you the hope that's within you. Not what I feel. What I feel today, I was at a doctor's appointment, and the lady there just said, well, you know, hey, do you have a good church? And she goes, no, I just moved here from North Carolina. Her eyes lit up, told her about the church, wrote it down, just all excited. I could have just said, you know, I don't feel like mentioning nothing to somebody today. The factual truth is the harvest is white. The factual truth is the harvest is ready to come in. The harvest has been ready. The factual truth is Jesus is coming, and he's the Lord of the harvest, and he wants a harvest. The faith I get to speak that is from the factual truth, knowing he said to go out into the world, he would open the door.
Amen.
We can't let feelings of fear, that's one thing I hate about this virus, the fear that's put on even God's people and the separation, and it's like we've gone back. But I'm telling you, and I hear the word of the Lord, God's going to turn this around, and people are going to realize, I don't have to fear a virus, I need to fear God, and I need to do what he said, I need to be in his house, I need to be in the prayer. I'm telling you, what the devil meant for evil, God's going to turn it around for good. God never called us to be oppressed or to be in a room or a house and not leave. That's not God. I'm not going to serve fear because that's from the carnal mind. The fact is, he said, I'm going to be with you. The fact is, he said, fear not. The angel of the Lord encampeth around those that fear him. My times are in your hands, O God. I'm going to be wise. But I refuse to let another master other than Jesus Christ decide what I'm going to do with my life. I refuse to bow at the fear of the devil, which he has inflicted upon millions of even believers. It's time to get up and go forward. It's time to get up and go to the battlefield again. It's time to get up and do what I've been called to do as the church, the body of Christ. I don't want to be double-minded. I'm still working on mine. I pray you're working on yours. Comparison, criticism, complaining are signs of a carnal mind.
Amen.
Amen. I don't want that. I want God's favor. I want God's blessing. Oh, I want Him first. But I can't live without His favor and blessing. It's His hand that does the work. It's His touch that does the work. That the words of your mouth, the meditations of your heart, be acceptable to God. In other words, God has to accept them. My carnal mind doesn't care what it says. My carnal mind spews out things and later says, well, maybe it was good, maybe it wasn't. The Bible says a wise man holds it in till afterwards. A wise man holds it in after the meeting and goes, man, I bet I didn't say anything because number one, it had been taken wrong. Number two, I've been judged by the content and I don't have time to get all of the content. Therefore, on a partial content of the subject, I would be judged by that and I'm not interested in going before the jury of carnal reasoners. So I'll hold it in. David said, I will bridle my mouth while the wicked is before me. As we get to close, and as we close, we got to work at this, folks. Got to work at it. Men, you don't take a second look at some woman that's attractive. Women, you don't covet that thing at the store that you know you don't need right now. The list could go on and on and on. Your closets are full, by the way, anyway. Men, you don't hang around, if you're married, you don't hang around someone else's wife. I don't counsel women alone. Never will. Never have. Except my wife or both of us. You have to wait till we get together because I will not do it. Hello? Factual truth, faith, feelings. It's a priority, Pastor Dan. That's how we stay in the Spirit. Be renewed in the spirit of your mind. And if you do miss it, don't condemn yourself. Just realize, eeks, I didn't want that wave crashing. How did that wave start? Well, it didn't start just at that moment. Somewhere, there was a wave of thought, and it could be for 20 years ago, but it finally came. But I found out this. Thoughts that have not resolved from years ago, the wave is a whole lot bigger. Because it's had time. And all of a sudden, the person just explodes. Man, how was your childhood? Because, see, we realize that wave comes from the past. Well, if it happens, guess what? Jesus still loves us. He doesn't want us crashing on the shore. Not at this juncture of our spiritual life. So, Paul said, thing that I want to do, I don't do, then. But he made this revelation, and I'm going to stop. He said that when I want to do good, evil's right there too. My spiritual mind wants to do good, but my carnal mind doesn't want to do it. It's stubborn. It ruled me for years and years and years without God. It did everything. I had habitual patterns of thought, and it's fighting against. Paul says, I see a war going on. Someone said, you know, if you have two dogs and they're fighting, the one that's going to win is the one that you feed the most. The one that you don't want to win, you starve. A little rough illustration, but that's true. I've got to starve this thing and feed the other thing. Don't ever forget this, friend. That's why encouraging someone else is so important. Because they might be going through a struggle right now with that. But your encouraging word can go directly to their spiritual mind and knock out the carnal thing they're dealing with. One word. Heaviness in the heart of man will make it stoop. But a kind word don't even know Christ. With a smile and a kind word. Jesus is coming. As a Jesus is coming. He said, when I come on the earth, shall I find faith? Or will I find feelings? Oh. So tonight, let's make a decision. Keep pressing on. As that wave crashes, okay, get up. Realize, you know what? I'm not doing that again. I'm not saying that again. I'm not thinking that again. I'm not hanging around with that person again. Because all they did was say, hey, let's go body surfing. I'm not going body surfing. I'm going to run to the house of God. I'm going to run to my prayers. I don't want to be double-minded. James says this. He goes, that man is not going to get anything from the Lord. And you know, when the Lord gives you something, he always puts butter on it. To show you it didn't come from a man. When God gives you something, you know it's from him. How many would like a few more things from the Lord before you go to glory? Anybody? I do. I want the heathen for my inheritance. I want the youth for my inheritance. I want to start another church for my inheritance. I want to raise up elders and deacons. We're not just stopping for a little teaching on Sunday morning and Sunday night. You are here to put a hurt on the devil. That you and I might cross that finish line with scars, and we might be limping across that finish line, and we might have the black eye from the devil. We might, but anyway, God promises that we'll finish it with joy and having defeated principalities and powers of God. Not everybody that crosses the finish line skips like they're going through the Sound of Music. Paul didn't. He's beheaded. You know, if you look at the early missionaries, all the disciples except John were martyred. John Mark, they dragged through the city street with horses. Thomas, they killed over in India. Peter's crucified upside down. But they loved not their lives unto death. The carnal nature didn't take over and say, you know what, I've done all my stuff. I'm going to go to a spiritual retirement home. I don't want to be double-minded to you. Can we stand up tonight? Can we stand up and just take a moment with Jesus? Can you turn the music up a little bit, please? Let's just take a moment with the Lord tonight. Heavenly Father, we praise you tonight. We thank you tonight. Your word has set us free. Your word is a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. Oh God, we don't want any carnality. It is going to be a journey. You've already brought us so far. But Lord, we don't want to be double-minded. Help us, help us, help us root that out. Give us a spiritual mind, life, and peace. Lord, that we might please you. Lord, I pray favor upon everyone here tonight. The favor of God this year will open up things they never thought or even they prayed about. For eye has not seen or ear has not heard, neither has it entered into the heart of man the things God's prepared. Reveal it to our spiritual mind. Our carnal mind can't handle the things of God. Let our spiritual mind understand it. We thank you. We praise you. In the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. I want to encourage you to come out Sunday morning.